You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the July 2025 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin by continuing the shortwave listener, shortwave programming for July. Marion's Attic. Editorial note. Sadly, this information arrived a couple of days too late to go in the June column, but I wanted to share most of it with you. 1,000 episodes in 26 years is a remarkable run for a shortwave radio program. Congratulations to Marion, Christina, and the team at Marion's Attic for such a wonderful accomplishment. May they continue spinning 78s and cylinders for many more years. We are pleased to announce we will be airing our 1,000th show for WBCQ The Planet on 7,490 kHz, Sunday, June 8, 2025 at 5 p.m., 2100 UTC. This June, in honor of our achievement, we'll be airing The Best of Marion's Attic on 7,490. During the 6 to 7 p.m. hour, 2200 UTC. Perhaps Tom Call Theater may make an appearance in that hour, too. Stay tuned for details. Fred, we started producing Marion's Attic in 1999. This was before the closing of many longtime international broadcasters to North America, such as the BBC, Radio Australia, Radio Canada International, etc., and such. There were no podcasts in 1999. Streaming was in its infancy. In 1999, we mailed our program to WBCQ via USPS. It was recorded on one side of a 120-minute cassette tape. During the first few years of Marion's Attic, many World War II veterans wrote fan mail to us. That was a blessing and honor for Christina and me. We've evolved since 1999, having had to adapt to technology and many changes. But the records, like Marion, are still old and getting older. It is nice to hear other broadcasters playing old recordings on shortwave these days. They will carry the torch. Lucky for them, the weight of MP3 files is 0 pounds per square foot. The original records are cumulatively very heavy. We are grateful for the volume of positive feedback our listeners have provided for us over the years, and donations for airtime, too. After show 1,000, we'll keep going, but I don't think I'll make it to show 2,000. Radio and internet fans want us to keep going. A fact, only 5% of all podcasters make it to show 100. How many living broadcasters have made 1,000 shows for shortwave? Lovingly, Marion Webster and Christina at Marion's Attic, WBCQ The Planet. Postcards from the Wind is a new series of 2-minute audio postcard dispatches by Phil Corbett from Somewhere in the World and will be aired by WRMI each Monday at 8.05 p.m. Eastern Time. That's currently 0.05 UTC Monday on 9,955 kHz and WRMI.net. The first postcards will come from June 9th, Montevideo, Uruguay, June 16th, Tongue, Scotland, June 23rd, Juneau, Alaska, June 30th, Sierra Nevada Mountains of the Western United States. July 7th, Canyonlands National Park, Utah. July 14th, Curitiba, Brazil. July 21st, Cusco, Peru. July 28th, The Coyote, Western North America. August 11th, Los Angeles, California. August 18th, Kathmandu, Nepal. August 25th, descending to Alphorns in Nevada. More information is available at thewind.org. Jeff White adds, that's at 5 minutes past the hour, right after Yankee baseball. We'll also air the program on Saturday at 8:35 p.m. Eastern Time, also after Yankee baseball. Martin Dawson's Radio Mystery Theater listings for June through September on WRMI. June 28th, Quiet Please radio show, Tanglefoot, 1949. July 5th, Escape radio show, The Abominable Snowman, 1953. July 12th, The Hermit's Cave radio show, Reflected Image, 1940. July 19th, Suspense radio show, The House in Cypress Canyon, 1946. July 26th, Escape radio show, The Time Machine, 1948. August 2nd, The Witch's Tale radio show, The Mannequin, 1933. August 9th, Quiet Please radio show, Whence Came You, 1948. August 16th, Mysterious Traveler radio show, Out of the Past, 1949. August 23rd, Escape radio show, Evening Primrose, 1947. August 30th, Escape radio show, Occurrence at Oak Creek Bridge, 1947. September 6th, Inner Sanctum radio show, Detour to Terror, 1946. September 13th, Quiet Please radio show, Northern Lights, 1949. September 20th, Lights Out radio show, Author and The Thing, 1943. September 27th, Escape radio show, Ancient Sorceries, 1948. The program can be heard Saturday at 1300 UTC on 15,770 kHz, Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 0300 UTC Sunday on 9,395 kHz, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC on 5,950 kHz. Our condolences to the family and friends of Ted Randall, the legend behind the WRMI Legends programs on 5,050 kHz daily from 0:00 to 0400 UTC and on 7,570 kHz from 0400 to 0600 UTC. Ted passed away on May 11th. His wife Holly and the various Legends DJs have vowed to continue the service, which provides a lot of good oldies music and short Christian religious messages. Take a listen sometime. And thanks to Ted for all of his hard work over the years to keep Legends going. He was an active radio amateur and had a well-known DX program called the QSO Radio Show. His legacy will continue. WRMI. This is good news that Ted's work will carry on. In early June, Jeff White shared this news on Wavescan. For decades now, the voice of Brother R.G. Stair and his Overcomer ministry have blanketed the airwaves from many different shortwave stations around the world. They still do, but the ministry has announced that it is ending its AM/FM and shortwave transmissions at the end of this month, June. Brother Stair founded the Overcomer Ministry in 1978, and it began shortwave broadcasts in 1994. The ministry has bought dozens, sometimes hundreds of hours per day of airtime, on several U.S.-based shortwave stations, as well as from some overseas locations. But the charismatic preacher, Brother Stair, died in 2021, and the Overcomer, which has depended on listener financial donations, says contributions have fallen to the point where they are no longer able to sustain their broadcast operations. The Overcomer Ministry intends to continue programming on the Internet and on a low-powered FM station at its headquarters in Walterboro, South Carolina, which it is in the process of constructing. While Brother Stair was probably not everybody's cup of tea, his purchase of airtime probably kept a lot of programs and a few radio stations going. It will be interesting to see the ramifications of this move. Wavescan text reprinted with permission. June marks the start of hurricane season. These destructive storms pop up with minimal warning. The Hurricane WatchNet is a very useful tool. HWN.org has many pages and charts related to weather and storms. When the Hurricane WatchNet is activated on the ham bands, it often makes for fascinating listening. You can listen with your radio or online at the page. Radio stations in the southern U.S. and the Caribbean are often in the paths of these storms. Stations like WWL had compelling programming during Hurricane Katrina. In the 1980s, I heard a radio station in Jacksonville, Florida, which ran full power at night to cover a storm. Listening to radio during such storms is often very compelling. And now Radio 101 by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR, KS4ZR numeral1 at gmail.com. Antenna Man OTA TV signal meter. An image on this page shows a man holding a box labeled TV antenna signal meter and pointing at it with his finger. The caption reads, Tyler the Antenna Man promotes his Antenna Man signal meter on his YouTube channel. Courtesy Antenna Man. Back to the text. Tyler the Antenna Man has been a one-man how-to, how-not-to, over-the-air, OTA, TV antenna educator for years. At a time when many young people are unfamiliar with the concept of OTA TV, Tyler has tirelessly and single-handedly produced many dozens of YouTube videos on what works and what doesn't when it comes to receiving OTA TV signals. From chintzy, plastic, stick-on TV antennas to complicated amplified VHF, UHF Yagis on rotators, Tyler, with his always sardonic presentations, wastes little time separating myth from fact. His video reviews of TV sets, antennas, and OTA TV set-top boxes have been viewed, according to Tyler, by millions. His work eventually morphed into a business entity, which he called Antenna Man, that had him traveling a multi-state area doing new TV antenna installations, adjusting old antenna installations, and improving existing installations to the delight of countless satisfied OTA TV customers. This past spring, Tyler ventured into an entirely new area, manufacturing and distributing an OTA TV digital TV tuner and antenna signal meter. Anyone who has tried to adjust their OTA TV antenna for optimal reception using their TV set or set-top box knows it's very difficult to maximize the signal just by looking at the screen. Many TV sets provide no meaningful way to display signal reception, and when they do, it's often momentary, giving the installer little time to peak the signal. Signal meters used by professional antenna installers can cost $150 to $330, and while they have several advantages, being handheld and portable, for the homeowner do-it-yourself TV viewer, they're too pricey. At $50, Tyler's Antenna Man OTA TV signal meter fills an important niche. For an entrepreneur, there is no such thing as a good time to start a business. And today, most savvy business types would flinch at starting one, especially one dependent on Chinese manufacture. But sometimes you just have to take the plunge, roll the dice, follow your bliss, do what needs to be done. So, Tyler hopped right into the world of bespoke electronic devices. In an email sent to those who bought the first production run of Antenna Man signal strength meters, he wrote, "If you've ever thought about launching your own product or brand, here's the truth nobody tells you. Sourcing manufacturers is hard. There's a ton of back and forth. Samples, revisions, miscommunications. You have to fight to make sure the quality is right." Following the email announcing the availability of the Antenna Man signal meter, it sold out, and it took just 12 hours to do so. Tyler wrote in a follow-up email, "Over 1,000 orders came through, and I can't even begin to explain how much that means to me. I never thought it would take off like this. This has been one of the most emotional days of my life, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart." And in typical entrepreneurial fashion, he personally packed and shipped every single one of those 1,000-plus orders by himself. During the middle of this past June, I conducted an email interview with Tyler, first asking how he got started in OTA TV. "Tyler, I got into OTA TV as a 5-year-old. My parents had an old 1980s TV sitting on the floor of their bedroom they were basically using as a table. I plugged it in, turned it on, and to my shock, it was picking up a TV station with no antenna plugged in. I was so fascinated by this that I messed around with OTA for most of my childhood, trying to get distant TV channels. Instead of playing with other kids around the block, I would go for hikes with a pocket TV and see what TV stations could be picked up." TSM, what was the thing that made you want to produce your own antenna signal meter? Tyler, Scott McClure of the company Creator LED reached out to me about a year ago. His company specializes in helping content creators launch products and navigate through the very complicated logistics involved. My idea was to bring an easy-to-use signal meter to the market that was affordable for the average consumer, something easy for the average person to use and understand without the confusion of RF channels and technical measurements like SNR. TSM, what was the most daunting thing about producing your signal meter? Tyler, making sure that the signal meters I ordered would work correctly. One of the sample units I received had a serious problem with tuner sensitivity to the point it barely picked up any channels. This had me deeply concerned that other units in the stockpile would have the same issue. Beyond money, my reputation was on the line. My viewers trust that I am guiding them in the right direction to get the best reception and most channels possible from their antenna. The supplier and I concluded the issue was an isolated incident, likely due to damage from shipping. Thankfully, the assumption was correct. Of the 1,000 signal meters I sold, I only received 2 reports of defective units. TSM, what was the biggest surprise you encountered? Tyler, Chinese tariffs, since that's where my signal meter is manufactured. At first, it didn't seem bad when the tariff was 10%, then it went up to 30%, then 80%, and eventually 130%. At that point, I was extremely worried about whether I'd even make a profit. I now had to potentially pay double for my stockpile and had already announced that my signal meter would launch for $49.99. The supplier insisted that I was not responsible for the tariffs, since the stockpile was in transit prior to the reciprocal tariffs and DDP shipping, delivered duty paid, was used. But I wouldn't know for sure until the stockpile arrived a few days before the official launch. By some miracle, the supplier was correct. I did not have to pay any tariffs on the first stockpile, but likely will on the next one, which will force me to increase the price to $59.99 or $69.99. TSM, you were an early adopter of ATSC 3.0 TV, but since then you have been critical of the rollout of ATSC 3.0. What are your biggest concerns? Tyler, my biggest concern is the broadcaster's use of DRM, Digital Rights Management Encryption. It was first turned on at a time when the only two set-top boxes, the HD Home Run and Zapper Box, couldn't decode it. While the Zapper Box got certified within a few months, it requires an internet connection in order to decode DRM encrypted channels, posing a serious danger should someone lose internet access in severe weather. The HD Home Run still is not certified, and based on my discussion with people involved in the rollout, it might never be certified due to its open nature of being a network tuner. Broadcasters basically took away one of the most powerful network tuners from consumers in favor of HDMI connected boxes that barely work. TSM. Even with satellite and cable TV losing subscribers year after year, there seems to be little growth in OTA TV numbers, seen at about 15% of all TV households. What do you believe the future holds for OTA TV? Tyler. I hate to say it, but I believe OTA TV will die in the next decade or two if broadcasters don't start making people aware they can get their channels with an antenna. Very few people under the age of 45 use an antenna to access local channels. Nearly everyone I spoke to under 35 doesn't even know it's an option and isn't watching broadcast TV at all. The average age of a person who uses an antenna is over 65, which poses a serious problem for the future of local TV as older generations die out and get replaced by younger generations that don't watch it at all. Broadcasters are killing themselves by keeping quiet about antennas to keep the retransmission fees coming in. At the same time, they are losing their whole audience to streaming services, to the point there won't be many viewers left in 10 to 20 years. TSM, the National Association of Broadcasters, has petitioned the FCC to shut down ATSC 1.0 by 2028-30. What is your opinion? Tyler, the timeline is unrealistic. Even if it was more reasonable, the FCC should not force ATSC 3.0 on the market. Consumer adoption of it is extremely low, likely from broadcasters taking away affordable options for consumers by turning on DRM encryption. If ATSC 3.0 is so great and demanded by viewers, let the market decide if it takes off. So far, broadcasters have not given people a good reason to adopt ATSC 3.0. The TVs and set-top boxes are triple the cost of comparable ATSC 1.0 units, and the channels can't be accessed on as many devices due to DRM. The whole thing is one step forward and three steps back. Requesting the FCC to mandate ATSC 3.0 by shutting down ATSC 1.0 is extremely hypocritical of broadcasters. The NAB is backing Brendan Carr's delete, delete, delete proposal that removes several media regulations. Yet, they want regulation for their poorly adopted TV standard, forcing manufacturers to include ATSC 3.0 tuners in their sets and broadcasters to shut down ATSC 1.0. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.